Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Exodus chapter 2, Exodus 2 and verse 10, just one verse of scripture here, just reading in another part, and I'll get to it later, but it just brought me to the story of Moses, and this is where we're at in Exodus chapter 2. This is actually the story of the birth of Moses and what his parents did to preserve his life and how he was found of Pharaoh's daughter. And it says in verse 10 that, of course, if you don't know, so quickly fill it in. I'm sure you know it, but after he was discovered by Pharaoh's daughter, Moses, his sister, came and worked out a deal where Moses' mother could be his nursemaid, keep him for a few years while he nursed until he became of age. I don't know how many years that is, but he was a child, no longer an infant or a baby, but a child when we pick up in verse 10 that the child grew, and then she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. She had to come and turn him over. Could you imagine how hard that was? But she was trying to preserve his life, and God had a plan. It was sometimes the hardest things we do are part of God's plan. And then he became her son. I don't know if there was any ceremony or anything, or if she just, because she was Pharaoh's daughter, she had the authority to say, "This is now my son." But he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "I called him this because I drew him out of the water." So for a few minutes tonight, I want to just teach a little bit, maybe preach a little bit on this thought, just kind of reinforce some things in our lives, not of this world, when where you are is not who you are. Praise God. Lord, bless the teaching of your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Aren't you glad that sometimes where you are is not who you are? Sometimes we want to be the best versions of ourselves that we can always be, but sometimes we find ourselves in places, and you've heard people say this, don't let your circumstances change you. Don't let it change who you are. We've sung songs about, don't doubt in the darkness what God gave you in the light. Don't let things change you. Don't let the nighttime change you, because the night doesn't change God. We want to remember that sometimes what we go through or where we find ourselves sometimes is not even of our own doing. Moses was not where he was because he chose to be there, but his parents were trying to save his life. And as a child, his mother took him and nourished him. She nursed him. Just the symbolic thing that it lets us know that she came to nurse him until it was time to go. When a mother nurses a child, she's giving him nutrients that he cannot get anywhere else. There are things that are going into that child's body that will help keep it from sickness. I remember our children, they nursed, and they didn't get earaches and infections and sinus infections and things. They were well and healthy as babies. We never had to worry about fevers and things like that. Just like there's something that God put in that, that helps that child that you don't get that anywhere else. It don't come from a shot or a vaccine. This is a natural thing that God has done. And Moses' mother was not just giving him natural things would cause his body to grow and be protected. But I feel sure that she was teaching him, as we all do. We talk to our children, you know, from the time they're born. We talk to them, and they retain things, and they learn things. And maybe she nursed him till he was 2, 3, 4. I don't know how old that he might have been. Yet, I believe she was probably telling him all about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I believe she rehearsed their history and the things that the patriarchs had gone through and the promises that God had made for these people, his people, the Hebrew nation, to be as the stars of the sky and as the sand of the sea. And maybe Moses couldn't understand all that, but something was being instilled in him. Then he was handed off as a child, and he became the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And she named him Moses. I don't know what his mother wanted to name him. I've never read anywhere. It's just he was named by Pharaoh's daughter. But where he was not who he was. And no matter what she called him, it didn't change who he was. He didn't change his nationality. It didn't change what he believed about who he was, or even about the God that he served. He got something in those formative years from his mother that she instilled something in him so powerful that Egypt could not pull it out. Praise God. I'm telling you, how do you know that, Pastor? Because here's what the writer of Hebrews said about this newly named Moses. In Hebrews 11 and 24, it says, by faith, Moses, this boy that was drawn out of the water. Now, when he was a child, he had no choice. He was a child, and he was called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It says he became her son. She said, you are now my son. He's a child. He has no say. But by faith, when he was come to years, when he was old enough, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I reject what this world has tried to make of me. I heard something when I was a child, that there is a God, Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm a Hebrew, and maybe you've decked me out in royal attire, and maybe you've taught me about all the gods that you burn incense to and serve, but I know that there is one God, and I believe in the one God. I believe in Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. Of course, I'm a little ahead of myself, but he said, I believe that. And so now that I'm old enough, and now that I'm come to years, and I say, I refuse this label that you've put on me. Where I am is not who I am. I'm sure they brought him up with the finest of everything. Probably had tutors that taught him things about the world. I'm sure they did teach him about the gods that they served. I'm sure he ate of the finest of food. And I'm sure that he wore the finest of clothing and was, I don't know what he would have been in line for if they would have recognized him as a blood relative and he would have ever went into the office of Pharaoh or not, but it didn't matter what the world had to offer. He said, where I am, that's not who I am. I'm glad tonight that even though I'm in this world, I'm not of this world. I'm glad tonight that where I am, this is not who I am, but I heard a story about a Savior. I heard about this great God of heaven and earth that came to this world in flesh and gave his life and purchased us and filled us with his Spirit, bought us with a price that we would become his, calls us after his name. And let me tell you, it's time for us to understand that where we are is not who we are. And by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, when he was old enough to understand and old enough to say, this is what I want to do, maybe they came to him one day and said, okay, Moses, you're old enough. What job would you like in the kingdom? Nothing. I don't want to be your son anymore. You're not my mother. I don't know who her husband was, but he's not my father. I belong to the Hebrews. And he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, just reading that statement right there, by faith, Moses refused. So many times we think of faith as only bringing things into our life. But faith can help you refuse. I'm sure there was a lot of pressure for Moses to do what was right. I'm sure that the servants and even the woman that had raised him as a son in her house, and maybe even from Pharaoh, because we'll get to that in a minute. It mentions the king in just a minute. But he said, nothing, none of the pressure you're putting on me, nothing. I refuse to be an Egyptian. Let me tell you, we need faith for more than just miracles. And I want to tell you that people say, well, I can't get past this and I can't get out of this. Oh, yes, you can. But you got to quit trying to just do it on your own. And you got to say, I'm going to have faith. And I refuse to be who I used to be. I refuse to do what I used to do. I refuse to go where I used to go. I refuse the life that the world had for me. I've been called out of darkness into marvelous light. And I refuse to carry the label of the world anymore. By faith, you can refuse that old life. Moses said, I'm going to refuse the life that was handed to me by faith. Faith is powerful. And we need faith. And it says, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Nothing the world could offer him, nothing Egypt could offer him would be eternal. It would only be a temporary pleasure. And let me tell you something about faith. It will reveal who you really are. It was by faith Moses refused to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It was by faith that he stepped back into his nationality, back into his worship of the true and living God. It was by faith that he said, I would rather suffer with God's people than be up here in this godless society and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He said, I might be living here in Egypt, but I'm not an Egyptian. And honey, I might be living in this world, but I'm not of this world. Come on, somebody. We've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God. We are not of this world. We're in it. We're not of it. Faith will reveal who you really are. That's why it's so important to obey the scripture, that we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, because this world will try to get you and label you and hold you down. And just like it takes faith to receive, how many knows it takes faith to receive the Holy Ghost? The Bible says that's the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba Father. That's where we acknowledge who our Father really is. It takes faith to receive the spirit of adoption. And honey, it takes faith to refuse the adoption of this world. If you don't want to be snatched up and adopted by this world, then you better get your faith and you better pull a Moses and say, I refuse. I refuse. Just I refuse it. Hey, oh, I'm going to get you back. When that stuff starts creeping up on you, I refuse to go back to that. When them old friends and pals come around and say, hey, come on back down here and hang. I refuse to do that anymore. That's not who I am. God saved me from that, spared me from that. He washed me from that. He filled me with His Spirit. And I know that I may still look the same, and I know that I'm still living on this earth, but where I am is not who I am. I belong to the kingdom of God. I belong to the one true God. I have a Father. That's who I belong to. He's mine. And by faith, we can refuse the adoption of this world. But maybe what's stalling people's refusal is because they don't know who they are. If Moses wasn't sure about who he was, he might be like, well, this is safe. I know Egypt. I grew up in the palace. I grew up with all these servants. I grew up with this woman as my mother. I mean, yeah, maybe, you know, I don't really know who I am, but that's why I'm telling you, his mother put something in him. She instilled something in him that Egypt couldn't wash away and couldn't wipe out, and he was just biding his time. He knew there's coming a day where I know I'll be able to stand up and say, this is what I want. When I do, it's going to be a refusal. And maybe it was on a birthday. Maybe they were having a party, and they were like, okay, Moses, tell us what you want for your birthday. To leave. The what? You've been nice. You fed me. You clothed me. You gave me shelter. But I don't belong to you. I've been living here, but you ain't my mother. Maybe she was kind to him. Maybe she was sweet to him. Maybe he wasn't ugly to her, but he just said, I'm going with my people. You mean them people down there in the slime pits, them people down there back-breaking work and the whips. I would rather suffer affliction with my people than to stay here in this place. And, honey, sometimes we've got to make our mind up that I refuse to be a product of this world. I refuse to be a product of the life that I used to be in. And we need to know who we are. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20 tells me this. Did I give you that scripture? Yeah, there we go. I can't see it. This white on. Where'd it go? Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That's who you are. And then he said in verse 20, and you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Honey, we're apostolic. You just need to go. I know that we're not big, and I'm not big about denominations and things like that, but people say, why do you say you're apostolic? This is why. Because we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I believe in the doctrine of the apostles, what I read in the book of Acts and through the letters to the churches. I believe in their stance and what they believed in. I believe what Paul wrote and what Peter wrote. I believe what John wrote. And I believe that we are called out and we're no longer a part of this world, but we are fellow citizens in this kingdom, and we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Praise God. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We are apostolic, and we need to get that down. And because let me tell you, the rest of the world, they're going to wave their banner about who they are. And so we might as well say, hey, I'm apostolic. What's that mean? Well, it simply means that I believe in continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, just like they did on the day of Pentecost, just what the church started out. They didn't go branching off into all these other things. They stayed right with the doctrine, one God, baptism in Jesus' name, being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and then growing in grace and growing and moving on unto perfection and growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, understanding who he was. The scripture says we're believers. Paul said we're believers and we don't draw back. We're believers. You need to know who you are. Just some titles of the saints through the scriptures. We are the beloved. We are the blood-bought. We are the children of God, the chosen ones. We are the elect, the heirs, light of the world, salt of the earth, ransomed, redeemed, righteous, sheep of God's pasture, sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We are the body. We are the church. We are the bride of Christ. And all that, I'm not surrendering my heritage or my inheritance, my place in the kingdom or my adoption to this world. I might be in the world, but I'm not of the world. Come on, somebody. Where I am is not who I am. John 17 and 14, Jesus said this about his disciples, I have given them thy word, and the world hates them. Don't think that everybody's going to love you because you found the Lord. Oh, I bet all my friends will be so happy that I found Jesus. Yeah, most of them will turn away and walk away and talk about you and want nothing else to do with you. There'll be a few that might say, hey, I might come try that out with you. But for the most part, they want to bring you back to them. I'd rather you come on back to me. They might not say to your face, but they hate you because of his word. And the reason is because the word changed you and you are no longer of the world. We are born again by the word of God. He said, I have given them a word that will change who they are. And the world is going to hate them because they won't be the same anymore. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Who do you want to be like, the Lord or the world? I want to be like the Lord. And he said, I'm not of the world. Then I'm not going to be of the world either. That's time that we examine ourselves and make sure that we're in the faith. It's time that we examine ourselves and make sure we're not picking up. You know, you live in the country, you realize you can just be walking along and don't even realize that when you get back to the house, you done picked up some things. Sometimes it's ticks. And I've been walking around out in my pasture and come home, sit down, and all of a sudden I feel something. Little bitty ticks crawling on you. Where'd that come from? Jump on you. Man, or it's bad when you find it like 2 days later and he's done latched on. And you got to pick him off and get him out. And man, it's awful. But that's just happening. Let me tell you, you can go through this life and pick up stuff if you're not careful. Yeah, yes, you can. You can pick up some things. I don't want anything this world's got. And I don't want it getting on me. I want to stay away from it. I want to examine myself, make sure that as I go through this life, I'm not picking up things that could, you know, ticks can make you sick. They can hurt you, get you real sick, cause you where you get that Lyme disease, where you can't, man, then you can't even eat deer meat no more. I don't want that. I don't want something that's going to keep me from enjoying things I like. And friend, sometimes what seems like a harmless walk through the world, stuff can get on you. And you don't even realize it at first. But in a day or so, if you hadn't found it out yet, you'll feel something's going on in my spirit. Something's going on in my mind. Something's happening in my walk. Something's bothering me. Something ain't right. It'll check you. The Holy Ghost will begin to check you and let you know you need to get rid of this. You need to, as the scripture said, lay aside some things. Some things you've picked up have become weights in your life. And we don't need to get so comfortable as we're trying to win the world with trying to be like the world. Hello? We're in the world. We're not of the world. I don't need to take on the world's tactics to try to win them. I need to show them something different. Moses stood up and said, I don't belong to you. I refuse this life. I don't know if he was peeling jewelry off and bracelets off and changing his attire. And man, I don't know if he had one of them crazy Egyptian bowl cuts. And maybe they done put some eyeliner on him. I don't know, but maybe he was washing his face and trying to fix his hair. And he said, I got to grow a beard or something, man. I got to quit looking like these Egyptians. But I guarantee you, he was getting out of that life. I'm not going to be labeled Pharaoh's daughter anymore. I refuse that life. And so this is what I want to be. I don't want to be like the world. I want to be like him. He said, my disciples are like me. They're not of the world, just like I'm not of this world. 1 John 2, and verse 15 through 17, you know these scriptures. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. This is, I know that these are scriptures that gather dust. People don't go around reading these because we got to win the world. We got to be like the world. We got to love everybody, so we might as well just be like everybody. No. You ain't got to be like them to love them. Moses was in the palace of Egypt, but he was still a Hebrew. And you can live in this world and still be a Holy Ghost-filled child of God, an apostolic child of God, and let your light shine and not have to hang your head or hide your face or act like you're embarrassed about it. You can still live for God in this world, not being boastful, not being arrogant, not being self-righteous or holier than thou, none of that stuff, but being who God called you to be. Be who God called you out of darkness to be like him, to be holy because he is holy. And so love not the world, and don't love the things that are in the world. Now, that doesn't mean you can't love trees. You can't love mountains and oceans and lakes and beaches. And God gave us all things to enjoy. But the world ways, he was giving Israel the promised land. He said, you're going to have a land that's going to have houses and gardens and fields and vineyards, and it's a land with milk and honey, and you're going to have everything. You didn't build it. You didn't plant it. You didn't do anything. All that will be for you, but don't learn the ways of the people. Don't worship their gods. Don't follow them in the wrong things. Remember who brought you here. Remember as you go into this new land that where you are is not who you are. You are still the children of God, and be that. And they got in trouble because the angel of the Lord warned them, told them, said, you go over there and start fooling with those things, it's going to be a thorn and pricks in your eyes and thorns in you, and it's going to trouble you, and you're going to be in bad shape, and you'll lose out because you're trying to blend in with the inhabitants of the land instead of driving them out. So don't love the world. Don't love the things that are in the world. He said, if any man born again, Acts 2:38, Holy Ghost filled, preaching across the pulpit, if he loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. Yeah. It means what it means. For all that's in the world. So for people who think, well, I just want to be like the world. Okay. Well, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, it's not of the Father whom we were adopted by, but it's of the world. The world produces its own stuff to seduce the righteous. The Bible says the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the wicked, they try to seduce them and pull them away. There's always somebody after God's people. Yeah. Your enemy as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. There's always somebody after God's people. He said, in the world, that means all these things, lust of flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life, all these things that are not of the Father, they pass away, and the lust thereof, the desire for them. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's what I want, everlasting life. I want to live forever with him one day. And so I want to make sure I'm not letting this world sneak up on me and get a hold on me and little things start creeping into my life. And all of a sudden I realize too late that it drained the oil, it sucked the oil out of my lamp, and I don't have nothing to light it with when that call comes. I don't want to be working in the field and find my brother disappear beside me and I'm still left standing there because I let something get on me while I was working in the field. I was a little too worldly in my approach to things. And even though we were working in the same field, I let stuff get in me and get in my heart and get in my mind, and it kept me here. Where we are is not who we are. In 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, he said, wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Don't touch it. He didn't say, and don't handle it. He said, don't touch it. Begins with a touch. How's that feel? You know what touch is? That's feeling. How's that feel to you? Touch. Just touch it. He said, and if you'll do that, if you'll come out and be separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you. You're not leaving that stuff behind to go into nothing. But God, who richly owns everything, who blesses us daily with benefits, this God, this provider, this King, he said, I will receive you. There's nothing but joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. Everything I could want. And he said, I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you will be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know what he's telling us there? That our identity is tied to our refusal and removal from this world. Because he said, he didn't put the stipulation of being our father on us until he said, come out, be separate, touch not the unclean thing, then I will receive you. I will love you prior to those things. I will be good to you prior to those things. I will have mercy prior to those things. But to receive you, you've got to come out. If Moses and Israel had just said, well, all the firstborn are dead, there's less Egyptians down there ever been, why don't we just stay here? And God couldn't be their God. They couldn't be his people, because he said, this is not where I'm going to take care of you. I've got a land for you that you're supposed to be going to. Whether you go or not, God didn't grab them and drag them out. He gave them the instructions, and they had to obey. And so they forsook that. They came out. They left that stuff. And then he said, now I'll be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. My identity is tied to my refusal and my removal from this world, just as Moses refused the adoption into Egypt. The same way, the same fashion is as Moses refused Pharaoh's daughter, we have to refuse this world. The life of Moses was framed by faith. When you read this, and you go back to Hebrews 11 and read this, even before the scripture before where I started at, it said, it was by faith that Moses was hid for 3 months by his parents. At his birth, his life was being framed by faith. And then, just going back to what we read, and then by faith, when he was come to years, even though he had been named by that woman, even though he had been named by her, and she took him, and it says he was her son, he said, I can refuse that. Let me tell you don't have to hold on to the birth label this world put on you. You don't have to hold on to it. You can go ahead and be a child of God. And he refused that. I'm not going to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, because nothing in this world can offer or compare to the riches that God has for us. Nothing that we get from serving God in this world can't compare to it. And so faith in God and faith in who he was, it framed the choices. Look, the first word of verse 25, choosing. When will we realize we can make a choice and stick with it? Joshua learned good from Moses. Because when it's his turn to lead, he looked at all of Israel. He said, choose this day who you'll serve. Are you going to serve God? Are you going to serve the gods that were on the other side of the flood, which would have been on the other side of the Red Sea, would have been in Egypt, would have been, are you going to serve those gods? Are you going to serve those gods that we came out of? Or are you going to embrace the God of your salvation? Choose this day. And we've got to learn that is a powerful thing that God gave to us, to make a choice and stick to it. Make a choice. Choose this day who you'll serve. Moses said, I choose this life. And then he went into it, and he fulfilled what God wanted them to do. And we can do that. You say, oh, there's too much in my past, too much history here, too much. then choose to walk away. Choose to turn away. Choose to put it behind you. Choose to live for God. Choose to embrace the salvation and the deliverance. I'm talking about complete, absolute deliverance. Last night, Jake was preaching Sunday. He was talking about Brother Mahaney and how that he told the story of his recovery from addiction and things like that. I was listening to that podcast today with the story, and Brother Mahaney was telling. And he said, you know, after that night, if you remember the story, he said that angel of the Lord had told his father where he was at, and his father came and found him and took him to the hospital. And he said, I got warmed up and went right back out. He said, it was like 10 years later before I came back to God, after God had saved me, like 10 years later. And he started going to services and doing things with his dad. He wasn't preaching or doing anything, but he said, but while I was in, I was actually in a rehab clinic. And he said, and every night, he said, my dad, he said, he talked to this guard. He said that could have lost his job because we couldn't have visitors. And he said he talked him into that first week, let me in for just a few minutes. And he would hide him in the kitchen. He said, and they would bring me to the kitchen. My dad would get me by the hand and say, Nick, you can do this. Me and your mother believe in you. You can do this. You're going to make it. You can do this. And he said, did it all week. He said, I received the Holy Ghost in that rehab. He said, and they let me call my father and tell him. And he said, Dad, you're not going to believe it. He said, what? What's going on? What's wrong? He said, I received the Holy Ghost tonight at church. He said, it got real quiet. He said, Dad, are you there? And he said, Nick, I'm as proud of you as I've ever been in my life. And he said, he hung up. And he said, I bet he made 100 phone calls after that, calling people, say, Nick got the Holy Ghost. Nick got the Holy Ghost. Nick received the Holy Ghost. But he said, after that, he chose. And he said, that night I prayed, he said, I had to get out. He said, I was fighting things in that rehab. And he said, I was fighting demons and things. He said, that were just tormenting me. And he said, and that night, he said, I prayed to God. And God, delivered me. He said, when I tell you deliverance, he said, I mean complete deliverance. He said, I never went back. I never had another drop or shot or smoked or done anything. He said, complete deliverance, just like that. And a choice is so powerful. A choice is so powerful. And when his dad was sick and about to die, he said, I went into the hospital. I just got finished telling the story because it's just too good. He said, he was about to die. They had tubes in him. I wasn't even supposed to be in there. I snuck in the room. And he said, I sat down, I knelt down and got in his left ear. And he said, I started telling him, Dad, thank you for making me such a great man. And thank you for all the things you taught me and all these things. And he said, and I told him, Dad, he said, now he'd been unconscious for 3 days. He said, Dad, I will finish what you started. He said, when I said that, he said, that man that had been unconscious for 3 days, he said, moved up, lifted up in that bed and put his forehead to my forehead. And he said, it was the passing of the mantle. Praise God. Praise God. Sometimes where you are is not who you are. And Brother Mahaney is, Brother Nick, his son has done, the story of when his dad took the last breath, he said, the glory of God came in that room. He said, the doctor grabbed me and said, what is going on? What is going on? He said, it was like a vacuum when his spirit left in that room. And he said, the nurses were weeping and crying. And he said, people were speaking in tongues and praying. And said, the doctor said, I have never seen nothing like this. Oh, man, I'll tell you, God's so good to us. Praise God. Why would I want to be anything else but his child? When I heard that testimony today, I thought, Lord, that just makes me want to double down. It makes me even more. I want to do more for the kingdom. I want to make sure that I'm being steadfast and unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, man. This labor is not in vain. It's not in vain what we're doing for the Lord. And so I want to make sure that I stick with it. And I know I got a few minutes to, and I'll finish up here tonight. So you just as Moses, our life is framed by the faith choices that we make. come in repentance. That's faith. To be baptized in his name is faith. It takes faith to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and then we walk by faith, and we live by faith. And so our world, our life is framed by that kind of faith. And then in verse 27, look, he said, by faith he forsook. The word forsook means he left behind or he abandoned. You're going to have to realize when you make that choice for God, you got to leave some things behind. And sometimes you got to leave people behind. And that's hard. And that can hurt sometimes and make your heart hurt sometimes. But if they're only going to continue to infect you to a point where you can't affect them, see, don't let them infect you to the point you can't affect them. But when you'll live the life that God called you to do, and then they're going to see something happened. Something changed them. So it said, by faith, he forsook Egypt. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. He wasn't worried about what Pharaoh said. Maybe Pharaoh got hot with him. Hey, you don't talk to your mama like that. You know, maybe he was about to take him out behind the old the old pyramid. And take you out behind that Sphinx and wear you out, boy. So, but he said, but Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. Well, that's a powerful statement. A faith so strong in what you can't see that you would stand against the refuse of the king of the most mighty army at that time, that you would just stand and say, I'm not afraid of you because I know who I serve. Never seen him, but my mama told me about him. All you mamas keep telling them babies about the Lord. It'll put something in them that the world can't drag out. Come on. And not only forsaking things, but he said, then through faith, this is just Moses' life, he kept the Passover. Faith to help you keep some things. He kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So just like we keep the Lord's Supper now, we keep some things because of our faith. And then in verse 29, it said, by faith, Israel and Moses, they passed through the Red Sea just like they were on dry land. The Egyptians tried to do that, and they were drowned. You know why? You can't imitate faith. And somebody else's miracle ain't your miracle. And that miracle, the reason they went through that is because they had faith. The Egyptians didn't have no faith. And that's why they drowned. They tried to imitate and go the same path that they walked. You can't just walk a path that somebody else is walking. You got to have faith. And so you try to imitate somebody else's faith, just imitate faith, you'll end up drowning every time. You won't make it. I'm almost done. I'm going to finish in 4 minutes. I'm going to be done. So I said all these things tonight to say this. Don't just accept that where you are is who you are. Don't just accept it. Moses didn't. He said, I refuse. I do not accept this title that you've placed on me. I am not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Don't just accept it. There's other people in the scripture same way. When Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, their stories are recorded while they were in 70 years of captivity. They were in another land, but they did not accept the rules of that land. Where they were was not who they were. They were still Hebrews. They tried to feed them the king's meat, and they said, we refuse. And it worked out fine for them. They wouldn't bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down and worship the image that the king made. They said, we're not afraid to answer you in this. We're not even careful about it. We're not going to bow down. And because where we are, that's not who we are. And Daniel didn't stop praying when he knew there was a decree made. Don't make any other petitions to anybody but the king. But it said he prayed 3 times a day like he always had before. Because where I am is not who I am. And whatever laws you make, don't change the laws of God. Don't change the word of God. And I'm going to keep doing it. And I thought about this. Just because you're in the fire doesn't mean you're toast. Yeah. And just because you're in the lion's den doesn't mean you're dinner. Have faith in God. Have faith in who you are. And then live like it. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. Praise the Lord. Have confidence in who you are. Have confidence in who God's made you. Remember that wherever you find yourself, it doesn't change who you are. You are his kid. You may find yourself in a trial or a test or in the middle of a storm, but you're still his. Don't let your circumstances change you, because they don't change your God.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.